A new study has given fuel to the fire of conspiracy theorists who have spent decades railing against fluoride. Researchers in the journal JAMA Pediatrics observed a potential link between fluoride consumption in pregnant women and the IQ of their children. While they didn't call for a cancellation of fluoride programs, they did warn pregnant women to monitor their intake of the chemical. For more now on the firestorm over fluoride and what it means for the medical community, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by UCSF Professor of Reproductive Health, Tracy Woodruff. Doctor, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about what this is all about.
Yeah, so this study was looking at pregnant women. They measured how much fluoride they were getting, they were exposed to, and they measured fluoride in their that they were exposed to by measuring it in their bodies. And then they looked at the IQ of their children at the ages between 3 and 4. And what they found was a relationship between their levels of fluoride. So higher levels of fluoride was associated with lower levels of IQ in their sons, not in their daughters. So this is one more study that we've seen published in looking at different populations of pregnant women, finding a relationship between what the women are exposed to in terms of fluoride levels and effects on IQ in their children.
So how seriously, say, should a pregnant woman take this? I mean, I'm sure people will hear this and, you know, think, okay, what do I need to be doing?
Right. So the reason fluoride has been, people naturally, of course, I myself included, think of fluoride as a great public health intervention, because when fluoride was added to water, that was associated with preventing cavities in children. But it's been more recently that we've been seeing the science about exposures that happen during development, like fetal development, and these effects on the developing brain. And so I think what we need to do is we need to, A, have more studies and be looking into this more seriously, because what we want to have is fluoride at the appropriate time so that we can protect children's teeth, but we also want to be conscientious about not harming children's brain development if that's an issue. And so what you could do is precaution, which is recommended by the authors in this study, and JAMA Pediatrics also did a nice discussion of this, is that perhaps pregnant women should consider drinking bottled water that doesn't have fluoride in it while we're trying to sort out the science. And really the government should be doing some investigation of this issue so that people can get the best public health advice that does both the things related to teeth as well as brain development.
Does this change the debate, in your opinion? I mean, people have been very opinionated for years now about fluoride consumption. Does research like this really make a difference? Does it change the tenor of the debate, would you say, as more science, if you will, comes out?
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, when I heard about this a few years ago, I was very skeptical. I was like, oh, that doesn't seem like plausible that fluoride, you know, we have been using fluoride for proper teeth formation for so many years. And now this science was coming out. And at first, I thought also that it was just part of what some people might label as this conspiracy theory. But then as I started to look at the science and hear some of the scientists talk about it, and as more science has been coming out, I begin to think, changing my mind and saying, you know, we really should be paying attention to the science. And also, we should be thoughtful about how we approach this. Because, again, there's part of this that is important for cavities, but there's also part of this that we have to think about for kids. And so maybe we need to relook at some of the ways we address this public health intervention. I think the other thing that's been interesting about this, because we've been working with another professor in the School of Dentistry at UCSF, is that the way that people get fluoride has changed over time since we put fluoride in water. So there's many more sources of fluoride that you can get and that people are, quote, exposed to than maybe when we did the original intervention with fluoride. So I think these are some of the kinds of things we need to have, like a government body or set of scientists look at, so that we can be making the right decisions about this.
Yeah, and I would imagine research like this could actually tip the scales, because I'm like you. I know over the years, you know, you're kind of on the fence and you hear these things, and yet, you know, for so many years we have fluoride in water and water consumption and that. But it sounds like what you're saying is we really need to start paying a little bit more attention and put more money maybe into research to see, you know, what we're dealing with.
I totally agree. And the researchers who were involved in this study are very well respected. They've done a lot of work on in the area of neurodevelopment, and they are saying the same thing. It's like, we should be looking at this because, you know, science evolves, what we're exposed to evolves, and it's really just good public health practice to relook at the things that we're doing that are on behalf of public health and make sure we're doing them right. So I have to say, I have been intrigued by this and also concerned that we should be looking at the science more, because maybe there looks like there's something there that we should be paying attention to.
Yeah, maybe there's more to it. Professor, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it. That's UCSF Professor of Reproductive Health, Tracy Woodruff.